us up with prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this day, and thank you so much for waking us up to spend time with you before we start our day. We come together to remember and meditate on what you have done on the cross, Father Lord. This morning, let us really embrace the meaning of the cross and let our hearts and worship be pleasing to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see you. Welcome to our second day of Passion Week. And today we're going to continue talking about the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. And today we're going to talk about forgiveness. And so I will tell you ahead of time that we're going to forgive today. And we'll also intercede like we normally do Tuesday through Friday for our community and for our missions focus. And so just to fill you in on what we're doing today, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 23, the Gospel of Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, verse 34. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. We'll stop there. Because we're going to continue in the context in the coming weeks. But the saying for today is Jesus on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. What is Jesus doing here? What is Jesus doing here? Well, the answer is pretty obvious. Jesus is praying. But you look at the context in which he prays, he's praying on the cross. And if I want to be like Jesus, I look at myself and I think to myself, where and when are the times that I pray? More specifically, where do I pray? Normally, I usually pray here at EMP in this very nice, beautiful sanctuary. I pray in my home. Sometimes I'll pray out in the streets. I like to think that I pray as I walk. I like to pray. I like to think that I pray as I sleep. I like to think that I pray, but when it comes down to it, I usually pray in places that are very comfortable, like gardens and, you know, with window view and, you know, lots of light coming in. You know, that's because when I want to pray, I want to pray in a place where I can just, like, okay, I'm ready to pray. I'm focused. I'm centered. I'm, you know, prepared, you know. And usually, you know, it's with a nice window view of a vista, maybe of green grass or something like that, mountains or something, you know. But here's Jesus, and he chooses a very peculiar place to pray. He prays on a cross, because crosses is not a place where you pray. A cross is a place where you scream. A cross is a place where you curse. You cry at crosses. You experience pain on crosses. You certainly don't pray on crosses. And if you do pray, you certainly don't pray for forgiveness on the cross. And to understand that the power of the love of God, obviously we know that God loves us because he died for us. But even on the cross, I want you to understand the power of his love. The power of his love is even greater than giving his life. I mean, that is the ultimate demonstration of love. But even as he's demonstrating the maximum amount of love that we can think of, he even goes further, in my opinion, than the maximum. See, because this is why I think that. You've got to understand in their culture, not only was it law, but in their culture, it was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, blood for blood. I want you to think about that and understand that. You've got to understand in a person's culture, it's so ingrained in them, and it's so embedded in them, it's hard to get out from a culture. Just think of your parents' culture. In Asian culture, they don't think the way that we think because they're stuck in their culture. And so I want you to understand the culture of this time is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. In other words, if somebody violates you, if somebody slaps you on the cheek, you have the right to slap them back. Somebody strikes you, you have the right to strike them back. If somebody hurts you, you have the right to hurt them back. That was the law and that was the culture. And here, we understand that there's a violation happening. For many of us, we get it. If somebody violates us, then there deserves to be punishment. I mean, it's as ridiculous as, you know, someone hurting dogs in the States. You know, if you're familiar with Michael Vick and the whole football thing, he got sent to prison for dog fighting and things like that. And so we understand this idea, concept of if you violate another person, even in this case, dogs and animals, you deserve to be punished. But let's make it a little bit more serious and a little bit more closer to home. When adults violate children and abuse them, molest them, we would never say, that's okay, don't worry about it. When a child is violated, we understand the violator needs to be punished. Severely needs to be punished. That there's no tolerance for the violation of children. There's no, absolutely none. And so in this case, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, blood for blood. If you murder somebody, if somebody does that, you have the right to murder them back. This is the culture. This is the setting. This is the context. And you think about us, and I want to use that word violate because it is what that is. How many times with our sin have we violated Christ? How many times have we sinned against Him? In fact, it was our sins that nailed Him to the cross. I want you to think of how many times we sin per day. Multiply that by the number of people in the world, billions. And that is the intensity of the sin that Jesus put on His shoulders. It is because of our sin. And we violated Jesus. And understand the culture. That He has the right to punish us and to condemn us. He has the right in that culture and in the law. And so now He's on the cross. And I don't know about you, but I would be in so much anguish that I would say, you know what? This is wrong. This deserves punishment. But He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And I want you to notice in verse 34, it says, but Jesus was saying, in NIV translation, it says, Jesus said, the tense of that word, to say, was saying, is actually a continuous repeated action. And so the NASB translated as was saying, the NIV translated as said. But the idea here, according to the tense of the verb, is that it's a continuous repeated action. In other words, Jesus is continuously repeating this idea, this thought. It's not just, all right, I'll just try to muster up some courage and just do the right thing and just say, Father, forgive them. He's saying it over and over again. In other words, His heart is that he's saying it for the billions of people that are sinning against Him. Not only at that moment, not only in the past, but for all of future history. Maybe He's just saying, Father, forgive them, every single person, every single one. And I wonder how many times He's saying, Father, forgive them. Was He saying that when He was being whipped? Was He saying that when He was being beaten? Was He saying that when He was being mocked? Was He saying, Father, forgive them, over and overly, continuous, repeated action? He just doesn't say it once. He says it many, many times. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And then He says the word, Father, forgive. He uses the word forgive in this verse. There are lots of different words for forgive. But what I found is that this word forgive is also used in Matthew 19:14. And the context there is when the little children is brought to Jesus, and the disciples want to keep the children from coming to Him. And then Jesus' response is, let the little children come to Me. Do not hinder them. That word let, the little children, let is the same word used here for forgive. Now, what Jesus is saying is not forgive the little children, but He's saying, don't interfere. Don't stop the children from coming to Me. Don't hinder them. He's using that same word as forgive here. He says, don't hinder that. And then you find that same word, forgive, that apathe, in Matthew 27, 48, 49, when the soldiers reach up with a sponge with vinegar to touch the lips of Jesus. And it says, immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with vinegar, put it on the stick, and offered to Jesus the drink. But the rest of it says, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. In other words, leave him alone, the scripture says. And it's that same word again. This time it's translated as leave him alone. And this word is used the same way in both places. In other words, don't interfere, don't stop the children, don't wet his lips with a sponge, don't interfere, don't hinder them. And when he's saying now, in Luke 23:34, when he's saying, Father, forgive them, he's using the same word. What he's saying is, Father, don't give them your wrath. Don't interfere on what should be done or what is rightfully mine to do, what is rightfully yours to do. Don't rush to show your wrath. Don't hold your punishment. Don't demonstrate your punishment. Hold it, Father. Would you hold it? Don't interfere. That's what he's saying when he's on the cross and he's saying, Father, forgive them. He's saying, Father, just withhold your punishment. Don't interfere. Don't rush to show your wrath. Now, I don't understand this. Because how could a righteous father without any sin? Because if anyone has the right, to punish all of humanity for what they did to his son, it is God the Father. I mean, what a wicked and cruel thing that they did to Jesus. How would you feel? I would be angry. Having a son of my own, just imagining that, just imagining my son going through that torture. I can't even bear the fact that he's sick right now and he's going through pain. That is difficult for me as a dad, as a father. You know, he's coughing a little bit. He's lying around lifeless. I mean, that's difficult. I can't imagine humanity torturing him, crucifying him, nailing him on the cross. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine even thinking of forgiveness, thinking that it's okay. You can withhold punishment from the violators. I can't even fathom that. Yet the love of the Father, because he loves humanity so much, yet because he loves us so much, even more than penalty, even more that he would allow his own son to take the punishment on our behalf. Man. If I were God, I would just send lightning bolts. I'll send another flood, destroy humanity. But God decided, no, I'm going to allow my son to take that punishment. When Jesus prayed that prayer, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing, God held back his wrath. You know what's something? Even now, even today, God is still honoring that prayer. God is still honoring that prayer. God is still holding back his wrath because he doesn't want anyone to perish. Hold back the wrath, Jesus prayed. Give the Roman soldiers who drove the nails into the hands of Jesus. He's saying, hold back the wrath, God. Give those Roman soldiers an opportunity to repent. Give the angry crowd who cried, crucify him, a chance to be right with God. Give all those who have sinned against me, give them a chance to be redeemed. For Lord, I'm paying the price right now. Father, hold back your wrath. Give them a chance to repent and be cleansed and be made new. Give them new life. Give them a chance to repent. That's exactly what the Apostle Peter is saying in 2 Peter 3:9 when he says, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but to have everyone come to repentance. You and I are here today. Jesus, if you could come back. You and I are here today because of the prayer that Jesus prayed 2,000 years ago on the cross. See, I have no idea if Jesus didn't pray that prayer, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. I have no idea if he didn't pray that, what would have happened. I have no idea if God would have said, you know what, this is unbearable, I'm just going to punish. I don't know. Maybe not, but I don't know. But all I do know is that Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And that is so true of us today, that we have no idea of how our sins have violated our Savior and nailed Him on the cross. We have no idea. Yet Jesus says, forgive them, withhold your wrath. And I would say this is why the sun shines on the good and the bad. This is why the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That's why sometimes evil people prosper while the righteous don't. It's because Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them. They just don't know. They just don't know. My prayer this morning is that God would give us a revelation of His heart, not only of His love, but the fact that we need to repent. And when Jesus asks us to forgive our brothers and sisters, He's not just saying it because it's a good idea. He's not just saying that because it's nice. He's saying, I want you to forgive 70 times 7 because that's exactly what I've done. And I've done it on the cross. I'm going to ask Jesus to lead us in a song, and then we're going to move into repentance, and we're going to move into forgiveness, and we're going to move into corporate prayer. So let's sing this together.
You.
joy to honor you. Last time, amazing love. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, will die for me? It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
As you look to the cross, is there something that you need to repent? I want to encourage you to just look to the cross and understand that we have been forgiven. And so there is no one that is not worthy of our forgiveness. Even the greatest of violators, Jesus has forgiven them. And it is through the forgiveness of Christ that we have been set free. Set free of our anger. Set free of the pain in our heart. It is through forgiveness that you will be set free. Just feel the Spirit saying, just let it go. Forgive and be set free. Can we spend a moment, some time doing that? In repentance and forgiveness. Can we just begin to lift up just our community who's sick, many of us, and, you know, call it what you want. It's warfare, you know, spiritual warfare, biological warfare, call it whatever you want to call it. But the fact of the matter is there's so many in our body that is sick with colds and flu and coughs and headaches and weakness, and, hand, foot, mouth, everything. So can we just begin to pray, including for myself, just pray for those who are sick and ask for God for healing upon them and a quick recovery. Can we just do that now? Let's just begin to lift up our brothers and sisters struggling with cancer. And let's just begin to ask God to continue to do a mighty work. And let's just ask for healing. Let's pray for them by name. And let's just begin to lift them up right now. As you look at the screens, let's go and intercede on their behalf. Continue to pray for our brothers and sisters and families that need salvation and that they need the power of the cross. And so let's, what a beautiful week for them to be able to receive Christ. And so let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for those who are also sick. Let's pray for those who are needing work and employment, and let's ask God to open doors and shut the doors that need to be shut, and let's ask God for wisdom. Let's pray for those seeking employment. Let's pray for our mission focus for today for Hong Kong and China. And next week, there's going to be a group going to SP Beijing. And let's lift up Pastor Sam Kim and the team. Let's ask God for protection over that team, because the enemy knows that that they're going to do to set people free. And so let's ask for protection and blessing over that team. Let's pray for the Chongs, for Matt and Nate's parents, for the Basrabas, for Leanne, GGR kids in the government churches. And so let's lift up China and Hong Kong. Let's lift up the SP staff, the elder board, and the missions committee, especially now is a time where the missions committee is forming our teams. And so let's just begin to lift them up for wisdom and strength and protection against illness. Let's just lift them up right now. Can we lift up Phoebe Ministry and Pastor Salamat? Let's just begin to ask God to use them, and that they would continue to grow, and that they would continue to make an impact in their community. Let's pray for the Korean church and for the same, that they would just be a blessing to their community. And so let's just lift up Phoebe, and let's lift up the Korean church. Father, we just thank you for Pastor Salamat. God, we lift up prayers to them, for the leaders there. Lord, for Pastor Salamat, we ask God that you would give them strength, God, and vision to continue, God. Lord, we pray against discouragement. Lord, we pray, God, that you would be encouraged. God, we see, we pray for that there would be fruit, God. We just pray that there would be transformation, God. Lord, we pray that that you would break the curses of Islam, God, upon the women, and God, that they would come to know Christ. We pray for the Korean church. Let me just close in prayer and invite you to pray on your own and just to meditate upon the cross and just allow the cross to permeate your soul. Father, we just thank you for the incredible gifts that you've given us. Thank you for the gift of freedom. Thank you for the gift of forgiveness that is continual, ongoing, every day, available for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us the courage to forgive those who have violated us, those who have offended us. God, knowing that you've paid the price, and God, that you've won the victory. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just begin to minister our hearts. And God, we want to bless you. God, the only response that we have as we look to the cross is to worship you and to honor you. And that's what we do. That's what we want to do this morning, God, in all our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.